What a wonderful hope that song of worship reminds us of, that we have in Christ. Today I'd like to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. This was going to be the opening scripture, so this will be the opening scripture. How about it? It will be something that I trust will be of encouragement to each of you. Nobody has any battles of life anymore. Jesus came and gave us a new life, and that's the end of troubles, that's the end of problems and, you know, challenges, and everything is pie in the sky now and it's all well. And stone that boy, he's lying to you. Not this planet. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 8 and 9, but just previous to that, Moses had died and he didn't get to enter the promised land because he got into rebellion against the Lord and did something he shouldn't have done. He got to talk about it. He got to lead the people almost to that point, and they had sent spies in once or twice and found out that there were giants in the land and all kinds of obstacles that they were going to have to overcome. But Joshua was reminded of some very important principles that when it actually came time to claim the land. Just come back with me in chapter 1, starting in verse 5, because we're going to do a little, I want to take these in the proper context so that the final two we end up with will make a lot more sense. These are some things that the Lord spoke to Joshua, because I could imagine that when Moses died, there was a great loss. And people wondered, what's going to happen now? Who's going to lead us? Who is God going to raise up? And it ended up being Joshua. And here's some promises. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Now I want you to be thinking too, the spiritual principles of that. Because God is no respecter of persons. These principles still apply. No one will be able to, as long as you're walking in the Spirit, following the Spirit, and walking in obedience to what the Word says, God's got your back. It doesn't mean that obstacles don't come. It doesn't mean there's more mountains to climb. But the fact of the matter is, God has given this assurance that He will not fail you nor forsake you. That is such a wonderful promise. You know, when you guys just came back from the Philippines, God didn't abandon you. He didn't leave you as orphans there. He didn't leave the people after you left. He left a very magnificent evidence of His presence. And you didn't come back to nothing. You came back to everything. With the hope of seeing the Lord take you to that land again. And it's the same with us. He never leaves us. He doesn't forsake us. You don't hear God saying, I can't believe they did that. That's it. Finito. End of story. You're toast. Goodbye. Nice knowing you. Hasta la vista, baby. You're on your own. Good luck, Charlie Brown. If Dave Walls was here, he'd say, oh, good grief. Verse 6, be strong. and of a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto your fathers to give them. One of the things that Joshua had going for him, among other things, is the fact that God has a track record. I'm going all the way back to the beginning. Everything God said came to pass. There wasn't one thing that God said that was untrue, that he had no character to back up his words, and it was passed down from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. In any nation where that generation is broken, is in dire trouble. God's faithfulness, God's plan of salvation, God's promise of healing, his restoration. If there's a break in that chain from one generation to the next, there's going to be a period of time where that nation is going to go through some birthing pains and great, great difficulty, because the very words of life, there's a spiritual attack against God's word, and there has been from the beginning. But God reminded Joshua, you can do this. Look at how I enabled those who came before you. Look at my track record. It's in writing. You have no reason to not be strong. I will be your strength. I will be your source. I've empowered you. I've enabled you. New covenant, I've infilled you with my spirit. You're of the same spirit as I am now. And all of my blessing and all of my favor, all of my anointing has been poured out upon you. Not only upon you, but in you and through you. You know, there were talk that there were giants in the land. And the spies came back, and some of them didn't have a very good report. They said, oh, we can't go there. They'll squash us like grasshoppers. These enemies, how can we overcome them? But you should read what Caleb said when he came back. It was Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. Yeah, no big deal. God will help us. Wouldn't you like to have that simplicity of faith? Really rest in it and know it? That there is no enemy that can come against you that can overpower and overcome you.
Amen. That's right.
Not one. So what if you die?
Thank you, Lord.
You still win.
Thank you, Lord.
These people weren't even born again. And look at the marvelous things they did, because they had that simplicity of faith. God said it, I believe it, that settles it, I'll just go do that. Wow. Didn't have to sit in a dead church for 10 years to lead somebody to Christ. Oh my, this is just working up to the main event, because you got to keep the main event the main event. Keep the main thing. The main thing is to keep the main thing. There. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Keep the word. Whatever God spoke, keep it. Apply it. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. What a promise. You don't have to get all hung up on what job you have, what home you have, what town you live in, what state you live in, how you're going to get from one place to the other. God said, if you keep my word, you'll prosper wherever you are. Wherever you go, I will go before you to prepare the way, to prosper you and to bless you and to cause you to succeed at everything that you set your hand to do. You will prosper. So lighten up. People sweat the small stuff when God's got everything, if you let him. Now he gets down to 8 and 9, and this is the part that I really, really was in my heart to bring this morning as an opening scripture. And I never know from one Sunday to the next any more than you do what's going to happen and how it's going to go. We just gather and let the Holy Spirit just manifest in any way that he chooses to, but we all get the benefit from it. This book of the law, hold up your Bibles, the word, this word, old and new, the principles still apply, the spiritual principles, the real truths of this word, they apply to every area of our lives. Sometimes we just don't like what it says, and we wish that there were certain verses that weren't in there. It's kind of like our Congress. They wish certain things like that pesky Constitution weren't in the way to keep their hands tied from really taking over like they'd like to. So they try to find a little sidetrack around it. Well, we'll quietly pass this little law over here and this one over here. Nobody will know. Well, we can't do that with God's word either. There is no other way around it. So this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, don't let the day come when you stop speaking the word. Don't let the day come when you don't have a daily input of his word. And whether you read one verse, or you read a half a chapter, you read a whole chapter, don't let a day go by without it. You know, you can go to the drugstore and Rite Aid and Walmart and all these other places and you can buy one a day vitamins. Did you ever consider taking a gospel every day? One a day. One a day will get you through no matter how bad that day's going. And he said, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Mull it over. Think about it. What did I just read? What did we just read? About God being with you. About God strengthening you. About God empowering you. About God enabling you to do whatever he's called you to do. You won't fail. It's impossible to fail unless we just throw out the rule book. And then, what's the point after that? That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Just doing what it says to do. Go here, go there. Do this, do that. Say this, say that. Learn to follow the Spirit. And you never go wrong. Tom had his temptation experience I shared Tuesday night about chickens. And I don't know how this came up in Bible study, but word came back that we got a little rowdy out there. The prayer room heard us having fun at Bible study, and this is what we were talking about. Before Faith and I got married, we were living together in Claremont. We were shacking up. We were sinning. God forbid. And I don't know, she needed something for supper, and the subject of chicken came up. And her brother Danny was with us. Danny says, I know where there's some chickens, but we got to go to Chester. So he and I come all the way back to Chester from Claremont. And up here, just before you get into town where the speed limit goes down to 40, there used to be a place there where this guy had chickens, and they're always running around in the yard. So Danny and I schemed up this idea, let's snatch one of those chickens. And we snatched the chicken, wrung its neck, stuffed it in a gunny sack, and took it back to Claremont. Faithy cooked him up. And I'm telling you, that bird was as hard as nails. He weren't no Purdue, I can tell you that. And it was so bad that we couldn't eat that bird. So we stuffed him in a bag. I wrote a little note. And I said, sir, your chicken is so damn hard, we can't eat it. And we brought it all the way back to Chester, stuck it in the guy's mailbox, and went back to Claremont. Don't ask me how we got there from Joshua. But we improvised. And I can't say the Lord instructed us to do that. I'm sure he didn't. But you know, without him, what do? You find a way, right? Even in a simple thing. We connive away. But now we don't have to do that anymore. We look to the Lord for all of our provision for everything, whatever it is that we have need of. And in this it says, observe to do all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. He says, you will make your way prosperous if you take the word that applies to your situation and just follow it and do it. You will make your way prosperous. And you will have not just success. My Bible says good success. Success is good, but gooder is better. It just seems too simple for our intellectual minds and our reasoning to just take something so simple and just do it. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, and neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you goest. And when I think about commanding, those of us that were in the military, there was always someone in command who would give orders or give direction or provide a way forward. Part of our training was learning to follow orders. And so now we're in the army of the Lord, and he's the commander-in-chief. So for those of us who had military experience, it's really, really very easy to adapt to the Bible as like a military instruction book, in the sense of God being the commander-in-chief. And a commander leads. He doesn't just order people around. He provides leadership. He provides a covering of protection over you. He's responsible for your well-being. So when you look at this word from kind of that perspective, that God isn't just lording over us because he's God. He's not using us. He's not taking advantage of us. He doesn't have an ulterior motive in mind. He has our best interests in mind. And he knows all things from the beginning to the end. He knows how our life's going to turn out. He knows when our last day is going to be. And still, he bought us, didn't he? And he has a plan for each of our lives. It may not all be the same, but he has something uniquely geared to your gifts, your skills, your talents, your abilities, your calls, your anointing, to be the best that you know how to be. And God will take it from there. He's enabled us and empowered us, chosen us. But he says, be strong and of a good courage. I thought courage was good. But a good courage. We have every reason to not look at life to fail. We look at life to win, to overcome. And we're not a bunch of pansies and wussies. You know, the world thinks that, oh, those Christians are always bawling and squalling to God. They're so broken down and wrecked, and their life is a mess. And well, from time to time, everybody has storms of life. It's just that we have the assurance of someone that can help, someone that can make a difference, someone that's more powerful than any human. But you're superhuman as well. You're supernatural people living in a natural body. Isn't that a neat concept? And in every given situation, you can overcome all the giants in the land where you live. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it in the strength of the Lord. Even Paul prayed that we would be strengthened in the inner man by the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. He's our source. He's our strength. And courage, boldness, confidence, knowing it's going to work out, knowing that God's word is true and not one promise of his word has ever failed. Not one. For over 2,000 years, not one word of his word has ever failed. It's never not come to pass. It's always been true. And be not dismayed. When I think of dismayed, I think of ER. Like in the play last week, one of the girls that had the ER pajamas on in the play last week, and always seeing the worst of every situation. Is my glass half full or is half empty? It was absolutely half empty. Life's not fair. I always get the short end of the stick. Always seeing the bad in everything. But you see, to the person who knows that the Lord is our God, the one that goes before us to prepare the way, once again the one who has infilled us and enabled us and empowered us, and he promises us that if we just, I mean, I'd be kind of freaking out. Bill's talking about their long plane trip. We got one coming up in a few months as well. And I couldn't imagine sitting on that plane thinking, oh my God, they just spread a rumor. The pilot was a plumber. How's he doing flying my airplane? I mean, the fear that would grip your heart thinking that there's a plumber flying the plane instead of a pilot. I mean, there's times on an airplane when you wish there was a plumber on the airplane, but it's a long flight. But the principle is that he wrote the book. It's like an instruction manual, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving Earth. And I just love it that he just teaches us how to win. He hasn't helped me a lot with bowling lately. I'm going to have a word about that. But whether we win or lose a game, we walk away and go to bed at night with our heads on our pillows knowing that we won another day. We overcame another day. We experienced God's goodness another day. We saw his mercy when we got up this morning. And I love the word, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Pastor Sherrard does that teaching in India, and it is so appealing because 99% of the people have never had an ice cream cone, they've only seen one. And that's the truth. Most of the people in the villages where there's no electric yet, no refrigerators, no freezers, no ice cream. And he used the scripture, taste and see that the Lord is good. And to them it's like a fantasy world. It's a dream, something that they just visualize. What would that be like to just have that one taste of that ice cream? Because only a few people in the cities get to have those privileges. And they live their whole life looking for that ice cream cone. And it's Jesus. And we have him so freely, so available. And we have ice cream. And if you don't need to go to the store, Schwann's will bring it to your door for you. My gosh, why do we complain? Hospital gowns. How would you like to go to the hospital and lay there naked in front of everybody that goes by the room? Oh, we are so blessed. God is so good to us and our provisions. And this is a fail-proof formula. So just take heart today. And maybe the things that you're dealing with, maybe you look at them from a different perspective. Instead of perpetuating it and saying things will never change, well, you just cursed yourself, didn't you? You have to look at it through God's eyes and see he's done everything that ever will ever need doing to make sure that you cross the finish line with your head held high, headed for heaven, but in victory, not in shame and defeat and discouragement. No, that's not his plan for you to finish that way. See, in life it's not how we start, it's how we end. It's how we finish the race. Finish it like Paul did. I've run the race. I finished the course. Fight the good fight of faith. Somebody told me once there's only one good fight. It's the one you win. So hold on to your faith. Use it. And speak boldly with confidence. Because speaking is important. So be of good cheer. Be of good courage. Hold fast your hope. Remain steadfast. Don't waver. And don't worry about the last knot in a rope. If you're thinking I'm at the end of my rope, I challenge you today to let go of it. And the only place you're going to fall is right into the hands of the Lord. Who needs prayer today? I should say, who would like prayer today?